the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're very happy to be back with you here tonight, as we are each and every night. This is Thursday night, tomorrow is Friday night, and then guess what the next day is, bud?
Saturday.
And what's the date?
October 1st, and that's too late.
Yes, it's too late. For what?
To be a first-generation backstage pass recipient and everything.
Right, exactly. So, whatever you said.
Well, it doesn't say like recipient, man, not percipient. What did I say? Percipient.
You said percipient, whatever that is. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference because today is the 29th. Tomorrow is the 30th. I say 29th here in California. And for you guys who are listening on the East Coast and other time zones, of course, it is Friday. So at midnight tonight for you guys and at midnight on Friday night, that will be the end of your chance to be a first-generation Backstage Pass member. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. There has never been a larger archive of any single radio show ever attempted in the history of radio. We are not only attempting it, we're going to get it done. We are archiving every single show that we have done, at least since the show went into national syndication in 1999 and before. We have made downloads out of all of our character clips. Everything's going to become a download. Everything is going to be there by way of our search engine. We have our video casts. We have video rants. We have our daily podcasts. We have classic Phil podcasts. We got a lot of stuff going on there, so please head over and get a backstage pass because after midnight tomorrow night, the first generation offer is over. And we have not raised the price of our backstage pass since when, Robert?
Like you said 1999, right?
1999, exactly. That's 12 years that we've not raised the price. I dare any business in America to equal that. I don't think it exists. All right, so that's happening at philhenryshow.com. Remember that date. Now, our affiliate spotlight tonight, you can also find our affiliates at philhenryshow.com. Our affiliates, I don't know why we spell it like that, you know.
Well, that's how you spell it.
No, you don't spell it affiliates. You spell it affiliates. A-P-H-I-L, and then, affiliates.
Well, they do.
They put affiliates, some jazz, I don't know. Anyway, two of our great affiliates, WCFO in Atlanta, Georgia, and in Jackson, Mississippi, WYAB. Thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts. All of you guys, great stations on the Phil Hendry Show Network. A network of not only great radio stations, but also a network of great listeners, a network of people enjoying us on the podcast, a network of people enjoying us via our webcasts and so forth. We're also at Twitter at Phil Hendry Show, actually at twitter.com/realphilhendry. Margaret Gray is going to join us here in a moment, and I think it's worthy. It's a worthy conversation to have. I do a lot of traveling by air. I know a lot of you guys do, too. A lot of you do traveling far more than I do. My very good friend, close personal buddy, the Big D, DJ, DJO, the father of my godson, J.O., who at this very moment is regretting that he's not in New York, wasn't born in New York, wishes he was a New Yorker just because Radiohead's there, you know.
Yeah, that's a bitching show.
I know, but I've all he's been tweeting about it. Yeah, we do radio. Anyway, well, how did I get undone? Anyway, he travels a lot. He's always all over the damn country, man. Everywhere, every which way but loose, man. That cat is every place. So we're going to talk to Margaret about frequent traveling and the first class, I guess the first class seat, Margaret. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, Phil, it's always a great pleasure to join you, and I appreciate very much talking about this. You know that as a writer, I do probably a lot more traveling than writers. People who write the way that I write or the column that I write, I don't do a sports column. I am not a hard news journalist, Phil. I'm just a commentator, really, on the American scene. So the traveling that I do is generally I am going somewhere such as a music event to a play, somewhere where there is a very special a thing occurring that I need to be there, I need to get into that show, and I need to absorb what I'm going to write about. And, of course, a lot of that travel is done by way of airplane.
Okay, so you're traveling by way of airplane, and while you say you're not doing as much traveling as others, you're still doing a significant amount of traveling. Now, you're on the aircraft. And what your concern was is that the pilots are telling people to shut off their cell phones with about, I don't know, 10 minutes or so before the plane takes off?
Well, I don't know how much. All I'm telling you is that the pilots and the flight attendants, as you know, Phil, I've always had an issue with the way they talk to me. And that does not mean that I'm anything special, but I'm a journalist. I do work in what we used to call the Fifth Estate. I work in the news business. I am filing stories. I'm talking to editors. I am talking to people that I'm going to be interviewing and so forth. So my telephone is my lifeline. Now comes the flight attendant. And she walks by and looks down at me and says, you need to turn that off, and there isn't any acknowledgement of what it is I'm doing or who I am, and that's to be understood. But here is where I think they can make a little bit of an exception. When you walk by someone who is sitting in first class, and that person is on their cell phone, I would think and I would hope, Phil, that there is more consideration for that individual, then you need to turn that off, you know. And I'm giving you the voice that was used for me.
Are you saying that the flight attendant she had a rude tone?
Absolutely. When they walk by and they look at you and they say, you need to turn that off. You know, there is it's very cutting. It's very...
I'm not going to try and make apologies, but I can well imagine there's lots of passengers.
I know what you're going to say. There are a lot of passengers. They've been working. That's their job.
That's true.
That is their job. And so I don't have a whole lot of sympathy when people say to me, well, flight attendants have a very tough job. And so, yes, I know they do. I've heard that. I understand that. And what is more, Phil, I appreciate that very much. I appreciate that very much. I really do. But do they appreciate what I am up against? So that when they say, you need to turn that off, and the pilot does the same thing.
The pilots are different. The pilot is going to say, I haven't heard too many pilots say, well, maybe I'm not exactly remembering correctly.
Well, Phil, I don't think you do, because the pilots will come on and they'll say, ladies and gentlemen, I am your captain, so on and so on. So you need to have the phone turned off. I want to get up and I just want to shout sometimes. You know something? I'm working. And I would very much appreciate some consideration to the extent that the pilot and the flight attendant both are giving me that kind of due. You know what I mean? That kind of consideration.
And well, I don't know how much consideration they're going to give you. You know,
let me give you an example.
No, hold on. How much consideration? You have an aircraft. You're in an aircraft, Margaret, that is federally regulated. Okay?
Oh, God, I know this.
And allow me, if you wouldn't mind.
Go ahead.
You're in an aircraft that is federally regulated. There's a federal regulation that
regulates.
Yes, a federal regulation that regulates the operation of that aircraft.
Can I say something? You're a radio personality. You're a commentator. You use words, and to say there's a federal regulation that regulates is...
It's not the most elegant. I'm you're right. But I'm also here in real time. I'm talking to the folks at home. I'm talking to you. It's not elegant, but I'm not here critiquing your use of the English language. You know...
Well, I don't think you could.
Well, let's stick to the point here.
All right.
The point that I'm making is you're in an aircraft that has certain rules and regulations that must be observed by the crew. The aircraft must be flown a certain way. The aircraft must be taxied a certain way. They must take off a certain way. There isn't one thing on an aircraft, a commercial airliner, that's not regulated by the federal government. And then, of course, there is the standard law that it is part of American law. It's part of international law. It's part of the laws of most countries. Once you're in the air, the captain is the king. That's his castle. The captain rules over all. The captain can arrest people. the captain can, you know, land the aircraft where he feels it is fit to land it because his interest should be safety. The captain can put down if someone's sick. The captain can say to somebody, drop dead, I'm not going to do that. You know, he's the guy, okay?
Let me ask you something. The captain, you say, he rules the roost, and he is the king of the castle.
Exactly.
Does that extend, and I'm not being facetious now, I want to know, does that extend to dictatorial powers? Does he, for instance, get to say, and I'm being purposefully ridiculous, Phil, does the captain of an aircraft get to say, the lady sitting in 2C, I like the way you look, come up here and sit on my lap?
No, he does not get to say that. That's asinine.
And I agree it's asinine. So why does he get to say, turn off your cell phone? Why does he get to interrupt my work? You know, I'm very flustered, Phil.
Well, hold on. You're saying two different things. Of course he doesn't get to say...
Why doesn't he? You said that he is in charge of the aircraft.
Yes, he's in charge of the aircraft. He's in charge of the aircraft. He doesn't get to say that you, hey, you in 2C, come up here and sit on my lap. You know, but he is allowed to say, turn off your cell phone, because that will interfere in the communication.
Oh, that is complete bullcrap. Now, I was waiting for you to say that. I really was. I was waiting for you to say that because that is absolute rubbish.
And well, how do you know that that's rubbish?
They tell you that so you're not on the cell phone chattering away and demeaning the flight attendants in the process. And
how does that demean the flight attendants?
When you're on the cell phone talking, it is demeaning to the flight attendants who are doing their safety dance, who are walking up and down the aisle and trying to give the impression that they are the crew, they are the ones that are going to basically be in charge of safety. And there you are on your phone. You see what I'm saying, Phil?
So, no, I don't see what you're saying.
What I am saying is this. If you're on your cell phone, you demean the flight attendants into thinking that they're secondary to what you're doing on your phone.
Well, I'd really love to hear from a flight attendant about that.
Well, do you think they're going to tell the truth?
Yes, I do think they're going to tell the truth. 877-876-PHIL. Our cell phones are communication devices on aircraft. At some point, we're told to shut them off. Is it really necessary to shut those cell phones off, or is this a power play on the part of the crew and the captain to get us seated, get us buckled in, and get us complacent and under control? Do we really need to turn those cell phones off? Are we being told to do things just to sort of flex the authority muscle of the flight attendants? 877-876-PHIL. I admit I don't know what a cell phone actually does to air traffic. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back with Margaret Gray.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. With me is Margaret Gray from A Little Bird Told Me, the Dicklin Syndicate. She's a nationally syndicated writer. We're going to talk here about... The whole idea, Margaret, of cell phones having to be turned off. You put forth an opinion that I've heard from a lot of people, which is you think it's some kind of baloney story.
I don't. You know, look. Let's be reasonable and let's talk like a couple of adults. You're trying to tell me that the safety of the entire aircraft relies on on the good sense of everybody on the aircraft turning off their cell phones. Well, you know, and I know, and I think everyone listening knows, that in the famous words of the poet, ain't gonna happen. You've got a lot of people on that aircraft that are not the most intelligent in the world. They don't even remember whether or not they turned the phone off. They put it in their briefcase. Oh, my God, it's on. So, in other words, the plane gets airborne, and one or two people who are very, very, very dumb have left their phone on, and that means all of us. On a full flight, that could be 200 people, all of us go nose first into the ocean with a ball of orange flame, and shoes and legs are found.
Why do you put things in such a horrifically graphic way?
Well, I don't understand what you're saying.
Oh, shoes and legs are found and a ball of flame. Why is it necessary to put it that way?
It's necessary because that's what the airlines want you to believe. Do you understand that?
And you're making a large issue here.
You better believe I am.
Out of the fact that the aircraft personnel asked you to turn your damn phone off, the...
Excuse me, Phil. I'm not using that kind of language with you.
Ask you to turn your phone off. The pilot asked you to turn your phone off, and you translate that into power move.
Well, you know something? Right now, I'm just getting over your language. I didn't even hear what you just said. I'm getting over.
Margaret, I said the word damn. I didn't use a...
No, I know, but that is a profanity. You didn't use an obscenity, but you did use a profanity.
No, I did not use God's name in vain. No, I did not.
Well, you said damn, and there is only one, he who can damn. You know that. Only one, God, and it is he who damns.
Yes, Margaret, I apologize. Can we get back on course?
Yes, we can, but your point, I think, Phil, is so... It frustrates me because it doesn't come from an expanded mind. It's coming from the mind, and I know better because I know you, but it sounds like it's coming from a mind that has shriveled, a mind that cannot see me, my other companions, the other people traveling who need desperately to use these cell phones.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, and you know, and I'll ignore your insult.
What insult?
A mind that has shriveled.
Oh, for God's sake, Phil, I'm talking in general terms, okay?
You know for a full fact that I am... All right, did we lose the call? Bud? Margaret, are you there?
You know that?
I didn't hear you.
I said... You didn't hear...
We lost the call.
I said that I have recommended you as a speaker at the colleges that I visit. Did you know that?
No, I did not. 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445. Here's Spencer in Naples, Florida. Go ahead, Spencer.
Hi, yo, Phil. Just heard
yes, sir.
Show. I've been a flight attendant for 20 years with U.S. Airways, and I'm going
yes,
to tell you exactly why you can't use that cell phone. Number one, when the flight attendants are giving their safety briefing, if you're using your cell phone, you're not paying attention. You're not going to know where you're...
That's what I said. It's a power play.
Let's let the gentleman finish.
You're not going to know where your exits are. You're not going to know how to get out of that airplane in case there is an emergency situation. It's disruptive, you know, the passengers around you, number one, and, you know, the second reason. But the big thing is it's all safety. It is all safety. So whoever is calling you in right now, the bottom line is it's safety. We want you
to... Well, Phil, I have to say something. This man has not said anything that I haven't said already. You are absolutely backing up what I said. You're saying that it's about control.
When your flight attendants are standing up there and we're pointing out to you your exits, you need to pay attention. You need to
control
how to get out of that airplane. That plane is about to have an incident on either takeoff or landing or whatever. Now, if you notice here in the past couple of years, on your way in, when you're landing, they tell you that now it's permitted that you can use your cell phone. The reason for that is because the most important parts or the most dangerous parts of a flight are on takeoff and landing. After you've been landed and you're taxiing in, they say, no, now it's okay to use your cell phone. That is the reason why.
Phil, I'd like to say something here, because the gentleman has said, the gentleman is saying exactly what I said. It's a controlled maneuver. It's got nothing to do with communications, which is what they've told us. It's to control our actions. Now, I want to ask you something, sir. I've been flying my whole life.
Hold on. We'll have to ask Spencer to hang on. We have to take a break.
No, I want to ask him now. I have to.
We're taking a break.
I'm here.
You want to hear?
Henry.
You hung up on the poor man, you dumbass, and you said the S word.
Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. And welcome back here. Margaret Gray with us from Santa Monica as we talk about the use of cell phones on aircraft. I apologize to Spencer for hanging up on you, Spencer. Not only did I hang up on you, man, but I dropped the S word, which only those who are seeing our uncensored video cast, I guess, we're able to see that.
You know something, Phil? I understand things happen, but I don't like that kind of language, and I think I made that clear with you.
You understand it was a mistake?
Yes, I absolutely do. I'm not criticizing you. I'm not judging you, but I don't like that. I am a lady. For what that's worth in America today, I don't like that kind of filth.
But you understand, and I apologize, Margaret.
I appreciate that.
But you understand I didn't do it on purpose.
No, I know you didn't do it on purpose. I'm not saying that you did. I'm just saying when I hear that word, I don't like that kind of filth. You understand that?
Yes, I do understand that. All right. I apologize.
That's all right. But the issue of the cell phone, Phil, it goes to this. The young man that had been calling from Naples, who was the flight attendant.
Yeah.
He was backing up everything that I was saying. He was saying that the reason why we tell people to turn off their cell phones is why? To control your movements, control your actions, to keep you from doing what you want to do, making you to do what they want you to do. You see?
Isn't that what it is? Isn't that part of what it's about, though? And
part of what's about? What do you mean, isn't that part of what it's about? This is not some happening. And
I don't mean it's a happening. I mean what it's about in terms of what they need. The flight attendant has to get the attention of the passengers. This is a very, very... this is a tenuous experience, if you think about it. You know,
in what way?
Well, you're flying in an aircraft. And there are, I don't know how many souls that are all together, 100. There's a captain. There's a flight crew. If an aircraft, for whatever reason, has a problem, there's a problem, you know. And so everybody's got to have their act together.
Well, you know what you're doing now is you're panicking people. And I got to tell you, Phil, there are people on their way to the airport tonight. I don't think you're doing a public service. And
I'm not panicking. I'm just trying to say that if a flight attendant needs our attention, should we not direct our attention to them?
And what if I have flown more times than a flight attendant? What about that?
I don't... To be honest with you, I don't think that's... possible, you know.
Well, guess what, Phil? I've got a news flash for you. Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
How do you know you've flown more times than a flight attendant?
I am flying twice a week. And
flight attendants are flying every single day.
No.
They are flying. They're flying.
No.
Every single day? They're not flying every day.
No, they are not. That is what, that's the sales pitch. That is part of the veneer. No, they don't fly every day, for God's sake. It is, first of all, Phil, it's impossible for a human being to fly every day because of the physiological demands of flying every day. Putting the body in flight, taking a human body from the sea level or wherever you are on Earth and pushing it up into the air every day at tens of thousands of feet is injurious. Now, I don't know whether you know that or not or whether you ever took the time to study it, but I did. So it is physically impossible.
Whoa, hold on. Let me take a phone call. I want to get back into this.
There's nothing to get into, Phil.
That to fly every single day, you're telling me is injurious. Flight attendants do indeed fly every day. Drew in Allentown, Pennsylvania. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Phil, thanks for taking my call. First of all,
yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm just cracking up at the comments that were just made. But I would absolutely have to agree with Margaret in the sense that she's talking about how, you know, the rule that they're trying to get out is that they're trying to control your motions, just like a traffic
signal. Exactly.
But the thing is, though, Margaret, it's just like a traffic signal is trying to control your movements on the road, right? It's trying to keep you safe. It's trying to keep other people on the road safe.
No. I've seen the safety dance a million times.
Right.
I don't need to see it again.
Well, here's the thing is that, I mean, that's what it is, right?
Well,
so when you sign up for a driver's license, do you have a dog in this fight?
You have a dog in this fight.
Will you not interrupt
the
man?
You obey the laws of the road, right? And so
I have never signed a contract.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me finish what I'm saying. I mean,
I've never signed a contract.
You have all night to say whatever you want. Just give me a couple of
all
minutes
right.
here.
All right.
So the thing is that you sign an agreement that you'll obey the laws of the road when you get a driver's license, right? When you purchase a plane ticket...
No, you're not right. I've never signed any such thing.
Listen to the man, and then you can have your say. Go ahead, sir.
Right. Thank you. The thing is that when you purchase a ticket from a private airline, all right, this is a private business, you agree to abide by their rules, okay? So I don't think the power struggle is with the airline. I don't think it's with the stewardesses. I think you're the one that has the problem with control. You have a hard time. And the thing is that who are you to say, hey, look at me, I'm in the middle of a very important business call. Everybody stop whatever they're doing and let me do what I need to do, and you just carry on what you're doing.
I'm not asking everyone. I'm telling the flight attendant. Well, I can tell you this much. No corporation is allowed to violate the Constitution. So even if it is an airliner,
they cannot tell me
that I'm not allowed to finish a call to a very important client while their flight attendant goes into a safety dance just so they can audition for that tape that they do. And you know that's why they're doing that.
You know what?
You know that's why they're doing that.
Huh?
There is no right in the Constitution that says you have the right to finish your phone call so that everybody else can sit on the phone.
It's called free speech. It's called freedom of speech.
No, I'm sorry,
and
that's
the,
not...
No. Where does it say in the Constitution?
Well, no, Phil, the point that I'm making is a very real point. No company is allowed to violate any law. They can have their rules and regulations.
What law are they violating?
There is a basic light. If I was on the phone to my daughter, let's say I was on the phone to a daughter. I don't have a daughter. I have a son. But what if she was being raped? Oh, now you two guys are going to have to get together on that one, aren't you?
You know something? In the case...
I'm glad you find rape funny.
What?
Why are you laughing?
Example funny. Okay.
Why are you laughing?
Example funny that you would bring.
Are you a father?
Are you a father?
Well, what if that happened?
If that happened, then you could tell the flight attendant I have an emergency phone call here that's happening right now. And,
oh, really? And what's to stop them from saying, "Guess what"? How do you know?
You know what the point
How
is?
How do you
it
know?
Doesn't matter what, it doesn't Go. Matter what the phone call is about.
Hold on for a minute. They got a connection problem.
I didn't hear you, Phil. I've got a million different... my phone was dropping out.
Yeah, say that again, will you, Drew?
Yeah, it has absolutely nothing to do with what the conversation is actually about. It has everything to do with the fact that they have rules in place. And you're expected to follow those rules because you purchased the ticket on their airline.
Right.
There's no laws being broken whatsoever.
Well, sir, Americans don't get this concept. Let's say you have a restaurant. And let's say people come into your restaurant. And let's say one day you say, well, let's say that one, you would never do this, I'm sure. But let's say that, you know, for whatever reason, one day you say, oh, I'm sorry, you're Jewish. Would you get out? Now, you have violated the law because the law says, even though that is your restaurant, you must adhere to certain public accommodation.
Well, exactly.
You're comparing this to a civil rights?
Right? Yeah, that's actually more than civil rights. So a cell phone call has
no,
absolutely
No, this has to do with civil rights. Yes, it absolutely does. I have the civil right to the free speech that I have been guaranteed by the... Jesus, you guys are stupid. No, both of you are really stupid.
How is that free speech?
This man has laughed at rape. He's laughing at Martin Luther King. Let me ask you a question. Don't condescend to me. Right, don't talk down to me, and don't condescend to me. You're laughing.
Like,
why?
You're doing to me. You mean?
How am I laughing at you?
After that, when did I laugh at you? Insults. I mean, I would think I would have a right to, you know, react.
What insult did I deliver to you?
Well, you called me and felt stupid. I mean, I would take that as an insult.
Oh, poor baby. Poor baby.
No, but you know something? You were basically saying, you know...
If this guy laughs one more time, I'll go through the phone. I'm not kidding. I'll go right to the front.
I'm sorry. It's just, you know what? I'm trying to have an intelligent conversation with you, and you're getting...
Yeah, I know, but if you laugh one more time, I'm going through the phone, and
your
wife will walk into the room, and she'll see me on you.
All right. You know something? Threatening people is not going to get anything done. First of all, I have to say that I agree with Drew. And I must say that I think flight attendants have a lot of patience, too. I get pissed off on their behalf when they are trying to get something done. If I want to leave, I'm a passenger, too. I'd like to take off, you know.
So go ahead and take off.
You got your phone on.
So what?
Wow.
Well, the problem is, Mark.
Wow. All right.
The problem is that they
can't, because of the rules and regulations.
Drew, you made very good points. I appreciate your call. Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. You know, that man was making some...
No, he wasn't making any points, and he was laughing. He laughed at rape. And let the record show, he laughed at rape. I said, what if my daughter was being raped? And he went, ha, 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 ha. God, you know, I've got a belch. I am very, very put out with some of the attitudes that Americans show these days, Phil. And I came on your program to simply say the following. I'm on an aircraft. I paid for my way onto that aircraft. You think a cell phone doesn't interfere with the aircraft's communications? They lied to me.
Well,
they lied to me. And they lied to you when they said, please turn off your cell phone because it could... interfere with the communications of the aircraft. Lie.
I think...
Lie.
Margaret...
A lie.
I think it... Yes, it may be... No, I don't think it's a lie. I think that...
Lie.
Would you stop doing that?
I'm telling you it's a lie.
I'm telling you that there is some truth to it. And that...
Oh, there's some truth to that and some truth to Phil. I was on the phone... with Bert McKinney. He has one of the hottest books going today in America. I was booking an interview with him. I'm on the phone with him, not his assistant, not his wife, who butts into everything. It was the first time in a year that I'd gotten Bert McKinney on the phone, and I didn't have Sally McKinney butting in on the other end, on the extension. Oh, Bert! You know what they do when I'm on the phone, I'm saying, Bert, and...
Yeah, I get it, okay?
Oh, yeah. All right. Well,
goodbye. Margaret, you know, we've got another segment.
Fine. Go to your break and do your commercials and whatever you got to do. Frank, make me some popcorn. Put that chippy pop.
Margaret.
Go to your commercials. We'll talk on the other side. Get the Redenbacher in.
The kettle corn?
Yes.
Ugh.
What do you mean, ugh?
The kettle corn just sucks, but...
Oh, I see. So I'm told when I can pick up a phone, I'm ganged up on and gang-blanked by two men.
Oh, get out of here. 877-876-PHIL. Is it a lie when we're told turn off your cell phones, turn off your computers, they interfere with the aircraft's communication? Or is it just that the flight attendants need to get control of our attention so that they can... do the job, the very good job, by the way, that they do. 877-876-PHIL is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. We'll be right back.
Bye!
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line is Margaret Gray. We're talking about the use of cell phones on aircraft. And you know Deirdre Knight from Atlanta, right?
Deirdre is a very, very wonderful woman. She's a wonderful literary agent, and she's a wonderful woman and a terrific writer, and she represents a lot of great writers. And I was really inspired by her comments that the, you know, they would like to use the cell phone. And
yeah, but she doesn't take it to your extreme.
Well, you know something, Phil? I go all the way. Maybe she just doesn't have, and I say this with great love for her, the guts that I've got. Have you thought about that? A lot of this world, Phil, sits back on its hands, and they wait for others to do the heavy lifting. You know this as well as I do. And in life, I think I have oftentimes, I've been that person that draws the lightning.
All right, but I want to make sure that you're drawing lightning that I understand, you know, that you're drawing the lightning to have the right to use a cell phone is a very dubious fight here.
What is dubious about trying to get some business done in the middle of a recession while some flight attendant who's got seniority, who's a year from retirement, who looks, excuse me for saying this, Phil, but because she has seniority, she gets to pick her flight to Paris and she looks like hell. Now, I'm sorry, I just said it.
Well, that was very, very nice of you. That was so, so adult. We're back in the days when flight attendants were picked for their looks. And
well, you know something? There are days that I wish we were back there.
Maybe that's true. And maybe there are days when that flight attendant's walking down the aisle and...
Don't you dare.
Did I say anything?
Don't you dare.
I didn't say anything.
I wanted to ask you a question, and I don't want to be off topic, but have you seen the Rosie O'Donnell Show?
No, I haven't.
I love her. I love Rosie, but she has really given into it, hasn't she?
And I don't know. What are you talking about?
She's a lesbian, and she's giving into it. I mean, she's just, there are no constraints. There's no editing. There's no, she is giving into it. She has the biggest. I don't know. Thank God. I don't know who's directing the show, but I bet you if anybody ever gets a shot of her below the waist, she won't just fire them. I really believe they will go missing. I'm
okay, so we're not talking anymore about cell phones?
I am getting my mind off of what it was you were going to say about a flight attendant looking at me and probably thinking that I looked like the living, breathing embodiment of the walking dead. And I can tell you something.
I was not thinking that at all, Margaret.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't thinking that at all, but what I was thinking is this. I cannot join you in your fight to keep cell phones from being confiscated or...
Well, no, they're not... What are you? Are you out of your mind? They're not confiscating anything.
No, but I didn't. I misspoke. To keep cell phones from being turned off, that the flight attendants and the airline have every right in the world to ask you to do that, and I cannot join you in this fight. What I've heard from you this hour is... what I've heard have been comments having to do with control, comments having to do with how stupid... That man's right. You called him stupid. And
I called both of you stupid, Phil. You know...
Well, you know, okay, so you did. That's not very adult.
Let me say something. I want to tell you something. I have been, in my life, the subject of, I think, a lot of sexism. And I've been on your program, and I've had you men gang up on me and hold me down. And
what are you talking about?
I mean, in a figurative sense. There, do you feel better?
Yeah, you know, I don't like your images, and I don't, even if you are being figurative, I think they are inappropriate.
Oh, my God, you really want to control a female, don't you? What? Don't you have one at home, Phil, that you could...
I'm not controlling you. I don't like what you're saying. Do you understand? I don't like how you put this. You're saying to me, well, you know, you're holding us down. You're pinning me down.
Yes, that's exact. Phil, I've been on your program before and tonight. You and that other man, it was tantamount to having my arms pinned behind me near the pillow. And
that is completely inappropriate.
So I won't be allowed free speech.
No, you're not allowed to... To libel this show by some ridiculous claim.
How am I libeling your show?
This asinine claim that we gang up on women and that we're ganging up on you. I gave you all the rope that you needed to hang yourself this evening. And by God, you've done a very good job of it. And
no, I have not. How dare you? I came on with a very good point.
You've hung yourself with that rope. And I can tell you...
Well, you really love saying that word hung, don't you? That's really a word you don't get to say too often, is it?
That comment right there is the same thing as... You saying that we pinned you down. And
how is that?
Because you're being inappropriate, you're being insulting, you're degrading me personally. You are
degrading you personally. Why? Because you're not,
Margaret, you are attempting to insult me. And
Phil, I came on your program tonight to talk about wanting to use my cell phone. I was immediately,
I'm sorry if you're upset.
I was immediately gagged up on by that bat. By the other bat. And then you guys are going, ha ha ha.
Margaret, she didn't do any such thing.
Oh, Frank, would you go? Would you please go? Is it a time for your bowel movement?
Yes, it is, but she didn't do anything.
He's got gender confusion.
Oh, does he? Do you think?
Thank you very much, Margaret.
Phil Hendry.
Rapist.